I want to start on the Minnesota side, usually a big weekend for the State Patrol. WeFest obviously just concluded, and my family has a lake cabin about 8 miles away from the Sioux Pass Ranch where WeFest is held. And I did some jogging around that area this weekend, and it just seemed like it was lower energy, that people were more well-behaved, perhaps. I don't know if that's something that you have some statistics to back that up, but anecdotally, it seemed a little bit more tame than years past. Did you see that in terms of people making better choices?
We really have now. I mean, WeFest has gone on for 31 years, and the State Patrol's been a part of that, you know, the entire time when it comes to the traffic enforcement and the traffic control part of it. But yeah, we really are when we start looking back at our statistics, because back through the 80s and 90s, it wasn't uncommon for us to have 40 or 50 DWI arrests during that event. And probably in the last 10 years, that's tapered off to around 25 to 30. And now just within the last couple, it's, 10, 2 years ago and 12 this year. So I think it's not from a lack of us trying, because we're out there making our presence known, making a very significant amount of traffic stops. I mean, our traffic stops are up, but the number of DWI arrests are down and the number of designated driver contacts are up. So I think we're heading in the right direction when it comes to that.
Yeah, that's what you want to see, more stops and fewer people being busted. So that's great. And obviously a busy time of year for the North Dakota Highway Patrol as well. We've got harvest coming up. Anything in general you want the public to know in terms of being safe during the harvest season?
You know, just be aware that we are going to have, some trucks pulling out of some of these pullouts on some of the approaches that we have out of these fields. They're going to be fully loaded. It's going to take them a little time to get onto the roadway and to get up to speed. So be aware of that. But also, we're going to have these combines out there, you know, with some big headers on them. They're going to be taking up a lot of these smaller gravel township roadways. You're going to be meeting these vehicles. So just be aware as you're driving the next few months, the small grain harvest is going to start now, and then you get into the row crops. And that's all going to be starting now. The weather's been really nice for those crops to kind of mature, and we're going to be start seeing that agricultural traffic out there again.
One thing I've noticed, too, when I drive the back roads from Grand Forks to Bismarck, especially if it's been wet, is that these big trucks coming out of the fields can leave a slick of mud behind, too. Is that something that's caused problems for you guys in the past?
Yeah, we've seen that in the past. A lot of that has to do with our sugar beet harvest, because you can't really control. You have to get the beets out of the ground when you get them out of the ground, and sometimes that happens during some rainy part of the year, and they do leave some mud on the ground. We try and work with DOT, with those farmers that are working in those areas, to try and get vehicles through there that can scrape some of that stuff off. But those areas can become slick, especially when it's raining out, when there's some mud on the roadway.
We've also got school starting here in a couple of weeks. Again, increases the workload for all of you guys. Any advice to the driving public?
Again, you know, it's just to be aware that we do have those school zones. There's quite a few school zones within our urban areas, but also we do have some of those rural schools as well. So just be aware of that increased traffic around those areas, the pedestrian traffic that's going to be there. You know, abide by those speed limits that are in those areas. The fines do increase when there's children present in school zones. Mm-hmm. Be aware of that, and just mind your P's and Q's as you're driving.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have any questions for our troopers, 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. We're doing a little trooper talk over the next couple of segments. And Sergeant Ruppel, want to turn to you. I understand with all the truck traffic out in western North Dakota, there may be some confusion about when somebody needs a CDL license in terms of hauling specific materials. Is there a general rule of thumb that you could give to our listeners in terms of when you need a CDL and when you don't?
Yeah, I think most of the confusion comes in people confuse the gross weight of a vehicle with the gross vehicle weight rating of the vehicles. And anytime the gross vehicle weight rating of a vehicle or combination of vehicle exceeds 26,000 pounds, then you're going to need a commercial driver's license in order to operate either that vehicle or that combination of vehicles. And then if the vehicle being towed, the trailer, for instance, exceeds 10,000 pounds gross vehicle weight rating, then you need a Class A to operate that combination. If the gross vehicle weight rating of the trailer, the vehicle being towed, is under 10,000, then you would need a Class B in order to operate that vehicle. The patrol has details where we go out and we work western North Dakota, and then we take the information from those details and we look and try to set up details to target violations that we see a lot of. And one of those that we did see a lot of over the last couple of years was, drivers operating vehicles without a commercial driver's license when a commercial driver's license is needed. Earlier this year, we went out to western North Dakota and we did a detail where we focused just on that. And, there was about 25% of the drivers that we placed out of service you know, for not having a CDL when required.
Is that a product of ignorance? Maybe just a lot of new people moving to Western North Dakota and not being familiar with our laws, or people just kind of looking at it like the Wild West out there that they can drive under any circumstances they want? Do you know if it's willful or not?
Well, I'm not sure. The people that we came into contact with were really confused about the difference, like I said, between the gross weight of a vehicle mm-hmm. and the gross vehicle weight rating. It has nothing to do with what the vehicle weighs. If you put the vehicle on a scale and it weighs, 2 pounds, it doesn't matter. If the tag from the manufacturer shows that the gross vehicle weight rating is 11,000 pounds, that's what we go by.
Okay. I want to talk about something a little bit more general that concerns all of us, and that's the speed limit, which you should follow, by the way. And so let's talk about something that we both deal with in our respective states. Sergeant Grabo, I think it's fair to say that the penalties in Minnesota are significantly higher than in North Dakota. Can you give our listeners just an idea of what it would cost you if you're going, let's say, 65 and a 55 in Minnesota?
Generally speaking, the 1 to 10 over category runs right around $125 throughout most of Minnesota for our 87 counties. And a good portion of that goes into the state general fund, and a lot of that goes into the local county and court system too, with their law library fees and things like that.
And to either one of our North Dakota troopers, what's the 10 over penalty in North Dakota?
It depends upon the speed limit. And a 55 zone 10 over is a $10 fine in North Dakota. And, you know, a 55 zone is a lot of our rural roadways, county and township roadways.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps you can't say it because you might get in trouble, but I will. That's really a joke. I mean, a $10 penalty, that's not even a slap on the wrist. That's a brush on the wrist, if anything. Does it affect you guys in your ability to enforce these laws when you clock somebody going 10 miles over and you know it's just a $10 ticket? Are you going to necessarily track that person down and cite them when they know it's going to be a $10 fine at the end of the day? Or do you kind of pick and choose between the most egregious speeders and try to conserve your resources that way?
You know, some days it depends. You know, we have days where we have high travel days where the speed, you take some of the higher rollers, because it just, if you're stopping the people that are 10 over, you could do that all day long, but we want to try to make travel safer, so we stop the people that are maybe going a little bit faster. There are days when we stop people that are going 5 over. I don't think it deters us from taking enforcement action. I think law enforcement in general, our agency, whether it's some of our local agencies as well, understand that there is a deterrent effect by stopping somebody as mm-hmm. well, kind of detaining them for a few minutes while you're issuing a warning or a citation. So the fine amount is kind of discouraging sometimes, but we understand the safety portion of that, and that's stopping those people, getting them stopped, educating them. You know, education sometimes is just, talking to people, and whether the fine, deters them or not, is not always the biggest deal. It's sometimes being stopped and visiting with those people and kind of trying to educate them on what is safe out there.
Yeah, I think there's a recognition that you guys are doing a great job on the enforcement end. I'll give the legislature a failing grade in terms of actually bringing these fines up to the point where they are a meaningful deterrent. We've got to do more legislatively to help you guys do your jobs. Speaking of that, some legislative changes that happened in North Dakota over the course of the last session. And we'll talk about that when we get back from the next segment, because this is a big topic. So we've got Trooper Talk and open lines, 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. This is Max Schneider, guest host for Joel Heitkamp on News and Views. Welcome back to News and Views. This is your guest host, Max Schneider. I'm a state senator from Grand Forks, and I'm joined in studio by three troopers from two different states, Sergeant Jesse Grabo from the Minnesota State Patrol, Sergeant Mitch Rumpel, and Captain Brian Newen from the North Dakota Highway Patrol. And we have a call from Joel, who has a truck question. Joel, you're on News and Views.
Hi. I see a lot of farm equipment being hauled in, like, all sorts of different roads, and I was wondering, what do you look for when people are hauling heavy machinery?
Well, in North Dakota, farm implements are exempt from the vehicle size laws. Some of the things that we would look at, it, like if they're on the interstate and they're exceeding 15.7, we would certainly stop and talk with them. Also, the only people that have the exemptions are North Dakota resident farmers, manufacturers and dealers of farm implements. So, if we were to see someone with a not a state license plate, we would certainly take an extra look at them as well.
I think, our resident farmers and dealers are not required to have a permit here in North Dakota if they're oversized, but they still are required to meet the requirements of a permit. So, you know, if they're required to have flags on the outside of the red flags, the outside of the load, if they need to have the amber warning lights, those different types of requirements the permit would require, they still need to have those, are just not required to have the permit in possession.
Okay. Joel, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Switching topics a little bit. One thing that's been discussed a lot last legislative session and been in the news recently as well is drunk driving in North Dakota. And the statistics are pretty alarming. We have 9.4 alcohol-related driving fatalities per 1,000 people. In Minnesota, that number's 2. So, in other words, North Dakota has about 470% more drunken driving fatalities relative to our population than Minnesota does. And so, turning to Sergeant Grabo, do you have an explanation for that? You know, obviously these states border each other. Is there a cultural difference here, or is it the penalties that were on the books in Minnesota? Access to public transportation, what explains the discrepancy there?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything, but Minnesota now in the last 10 years, we've been really part of a big thing called the Towards Zero Death Program, and what that does, it's getting agencies all over Minnesota, so not just the State Patrol, but all your other local police departments, agencies, and then people involved with the highway departments, whether it's on a county, city, or state level, and everybody working together, coming together, trying to figure out what we can do to make people more aware and reduce the number of our fatal crashes happening. And I think that's been a big part of it, because it's 10 years, and we're moving in the right direction. Granted, our fatal crashes are up a little bit this year compared to last year, but again, we just got to keep working towards that ultimate goal of zero deaths.
If you have any questions for the troopers, 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. Turning to our North Dakota troopers, there was a law that went into effect August 1st, significantly increases penalties for drunken driving, especially when it comes to repeat offenders. Have you seen anybody be arrested under that law?
You know, it went into effect July 1st, so we have seen.
July 1st, that's right.
You know, obviously the new law is in effect now, so we're, you know, we're making those DUI arrests. The new penalties are in place once, you know, obviously if their defendant's found guilty, and the judge needs to start imposing those penalties. And, you know, some of the increases that we're seeing with this legislative session is the amount of time frame for multiple offenses was increased to 7 years. Mm-hmm. So if you have a second, third offense in those 7 year period, used to be a 5 year period. So they've bumped up the 2 year, you know, up by 2 years, the period where those multiple offenses take effect. Also, the fines have been significantly increased. There is now some mandatory jail time, also some mandatory participation in our 24/7 program, mm-hmm. which I think we've seen some really good results with. So, you know, there was a significant increase in the amount of penalties we had for DUI legislation come July 1st. So,
and there's been a lot of talk amongst legislators about changing the culture in terms of drunken driving, and I think part of that is changing the law. Do you think the law and the increased penalties, do you think that's gotten out there effectively? Are motorists aware that if they engage in this serious activity that they're going to face serious penalties?
I think, you know, it was covered very well during our legislative session, so people understand that our DUI legislation has changed and that there's going to be some more significant penalties involved with that. So I think that message is out there. Again, we need to change our culture in North Dakota. If you look at, you know, we're number one on all these different alcohol type of rankings, underage drinking, binge drinking, these different types of rankings, and it's not a good place to be. Number one in those types of categories isn't a good place to be. Top 10 in those categories aren't a good place to be. Mm-hmm. You know, 50% of our crashes on average, our fatal crashes involve alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's, if we could just reduce that, like, so try to go to the zero deaths that involve alcohol, we're going to reduce our fatalities by 50%. Last year we had 170 fatalities. So, I mean, if we reduce it by 50%, we're reducing it by 85, you know, fatalities. I mean, that's a lot of people in North Dakota that are dying on our roadways every year needlessly.
Yeah, 85 families, that would be a significant change. Sue has a question for the troopers, a question about hauling horses. In fact, Sue, you're on News and Views.
Hi. I had a question for both North Dakota and Minnesota. When hauling horses, some people are trying to tell me we were supposed to pull in and get weighed in. Is that true?
Well, what are you doing with the horses?
Oh, probably trail riding, going to a horse show, whatever.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't be required to pull in to get weighed.
Would that be for both states?
Well, how I understand it, I mean, as long as it's not anything for profit, as long as you're not under a commercial status, you would be exempt then if it's strictly for farming or private use.
Oh, okay.
And the same would hold true for North Dakota. Like I said, you would not have to pull in if you're doing it for a commercial business, You know, then you would be considered commercial, and then you would have to pull in. You'd be subject to all the federal motor carrier safety regulation rules.
Well, enough horsing around. Let's talk about another four-legged friend that occasionally affects the way you guys do your jobs, and that's deer crashes. Obviously, that season's coming up here pretty soon. Any just common sense advice to motorists out there in terms of minimizing your interactions with deer as we get closer to this fall? Or is there nothing you can do? Is it like winning the deer lottery?
You know, you just got to keep your, like they say in football, keep your head on the swivel when you're out there driving. You know, we have basically two times a year when deer are moving quite a bit, and it's kind of during that summer months after the does have their fawns and they start moving around looking for, you know, new forage areas. Then also in the fall when, you know, obviously the rut's on. So there are little lulls in some of those periods, but just keep your eyes open when you're out there. Don't be looking straight ahead in the road. Be looking in those ditches. You know, a lot of times their eyes do light up, and you'll be able to see that before you come upon them. So
yeah, exactly. Scanning the road, and we just use that saying, don't veer for the deer, because it's better to hit the deer than to run off the road and roll and hit something else.
Yep. Yeah, let the deer absorb the impact. Don't do anything to yourself. So, well, troopers, we really appreciate it. Sergeant Mitch Rumpel, Captain Brian Niewind, and Sergeant Jesse Grabo, thanks for coming in to News and Views. Welcome back to News and Views. This is your guest host, Max Schneider. I'm a state senator from Grand Forks. And backed by popular demand are three troopers, Sergeant Jesse Grabo from the Minnesota State Patrol, Sergeant Mitch Rumpel, and Captain Brian Niewind from the North Dakota side. And one thing that comes up a lot is the issue of vehicle inspections. You know, how do you go about doing that? Is that a big part of your jobs?
You know, our agency was tasked with doing vehicle inspections of like salvage title vehicles, issuing VIN numbers for homemade trailers, those types of inspections. As of August 1st, our agency was taken, those duties were taken away from our agency, and the Department of Transportation, specifically the Motor Vehicle Office, is now conducting those vehicle inspections. They have a process in place to have those inspections done. In the past, you'd call our agency and we would come out and do those inspections for you, but as of August 1st, we're no longer doing them. And in the Fargo area here, in a week time period, we do sometimes 30 to 60 of those a week. So it's taking a lot of our troopers' time to do those. So, you know, we're going to have 30 to 60 people a week now that used to get vehicle inspections done with us that are going to need to find a new way to do that. And okay, what they need to do is contact the Motor Vehicle Department, and they have a list of businesses that are doing them now, mm-hmm, and a process in place for that to take place.
How does that workload compare to your colleagues out west, you know, in the oil patch?
You know, I believe in fiscal year 2012, we did like 3,500 vehicle inspections statewide. Mm-hmm. I think Fargo, obviously, with our population, the amount of car dealers we have here, you know, we have an auto auction here in town as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we see a good percentage of those, but they are going on statewide. And, you know, it's taking up a lot of our trooper time. If you look at, you know, we're traveling from, let's say one's out in Walcott, and our troopers are traveling out there to take care of that. It's taking up their time where we could be doing traffic safety type stuff, responding to crashes. So the legislature decided it was time for somebody else to take care of that business. And, you know, as of August 1st, they are.
Are you going to miss the work?
You know, it was a good public perception when we're out there, because we're dealing with people in a non-enforcement environment. Mm-hmm. So I think it was good PR for our agency. Will the guys miss the work? You know, some days it was kind of a nice change of pace, but like I said, in here in Fargo, you're doing 60 of them in a week, and it can get a little long week.
Well, Mark has a question for the troopers. I want to plug the lines one more time before we get to Mark. 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. If you have a question for the troopers, Mark, you're on News and Views with Trooper Doc.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the guys about, now they've got these little motor kits that you can put a 48 or 49 cc motor on a pedal bicycle. I'm just curious about the rules on that on the streets.
I believe anything below 49 cc's or less, you're not required to have a endorsement on your driver's license. It would be considered a moped, and you have to have a registration for the moped, but you're not required to have a motorcycle endorsement for your driver's license here in North Dakota.
But I believe you would still need to have a driver's license.
You still have to have a driver's license, but not the motorcycle endorsement, and you'd have to have a moped license for the it'd be considered a moped at that point in time.
Okay, because one thing that issue that I've heard of is that it's almost kind of like making your own trailer where there's really no title for it, but you have to get all the receipts and send that into the DOT or something. Is that how it works?
It would probably have to be inspected. And again, the Motor Vehicle Department is doing those inspections now. And so it has to be inspected so you could actually get a title and then have the vehicle registered.
Okay, thanks.
And thank you, Mark. We have additional open lines if you're interested. 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. And somewhat related to Mark's question and back to the DUI topic, which is obviously an important one, there's a North Dakota Supreme Court case, I believe it was last year, that made clear you can get a DUI on a bicycle. Is that true in Minnesota as well?
No, you cannot get a DWI on a bicycle.
Okay. How often does that come up? Obviously, I doubt you guys are pulling over bicycles on North Dakota's highways very often, but is that something that you see in your day-to-day work?
I see it very rare. You know, our local municipal departments maybe see it a little bit more. You know, obviously our agency, if I can't think of a time where I can think of a trooper that has stopped somebody on a bicycle. You know, if they're a safety risk, obviously our bicyclists can be on our roadways, and if they become a safety issue risk out there, they can be stopped for whatever violation it is. And if they're under the influence, they can be arrested here in North Dakota. Does it happen very often? I would say probably not.
Probably shouldn't be riding a bicycle on the interstate, no matter your state of mind one way or the other, I would guess. John is on the line, has a question for our troopers. John, you're on News and Views.
Yeah, regarding titling a motor vehicle, the inspections, if the DOT does inspections, will they come out and do them? Because I have a vehicle that needs a title, it's a non-running vehicle. Do I have to haul that into a...
You'll need to contact the Motor Vehicle Department of Transportation Motor Vehicle. They have a list of businesses that do inspections now for salvage titles. I'm not sure exactly what the process is for to actually receive a title for like a VIN inspection, but if you contact them, they'll have a way of, you know, they're going to move forward with this process. I'm not exactly sure what the process is, but they'll have some answers for you.
John, thanks for the call. We've really lit up the phone lines here. We have another call from an individual who has a question about brakes for truckers, if I'm reading Amy's message correctly.
Yeah, I got a good one. I do a half-hour brake for commercial vehicles. Now, what's the deal with that?
Well, this rule came down. It actually became effective July 1, and the idea behind that 30-minute break was to reduce the fatigue for these long haul drivers. And so within an 8-hour period of operating or driving, a driver would have to take a 30-minute off duty, and they would either have to be off duty or in the sleeper berth sometime in that 8-hour period. Now, we have seen, you know, there was some confusion because some of the drivers were dropping down on their logbook, and they were putting just a 30-minute break on duty, not driving. And the law specifically says that 30 minutes has to be either off duty or in the sleeper berth. And that has to occur within that 8-hour period. So,
appreciate the call. Excellent question. Another question about license plates. Caller on News and Views. I believe we're looking for Hanson. Is Hanson there?
Yes. My question is, what's enforced on license plates in North Dakota now? Do you have to have one in front and one in back? It appears that a good percent of the people are not putting on their front license plate. And same on trucks. Truck tractors are not putting on the rear plate.
In North Dakota, passenger cars, pickups need to have two license plates, one in the front, one in the rear. They need to be obviously horizontally placed on the bumper. They can't be covered with debris or covered with license plate covers. They have to be clear and visible. They have to be placed horizontally on the extreme front of the vehicle and the extreme back. So, like, you can't have one in your windshield. That doesn't work. It has to be in the front of the vehicle. Commercial motor vehicles that have pro-rated plates only receive one license plate, and that has to be mounted on the front of the truck. So our commercial motor vehicles are just required to have one license plate, but all of our passenger cars, pickups, SUVs, things of those nature need to have two license plates. Obviously, a motorcycle just needs one, but our passenger cars, pickups, SUVs need to have two.
How about on the Minnesota side?
Same thing. The only other exemption would be a collector's vehicle with a collector's plate. That would only require one license plate displayed to the rear. Now, if you want to display a license plate to the front of that collector vehicle, well, then it would also require a rear one. But otherwise, the same thing. And yes, just to echo what Captain Iwin said about the covers, the license plate covers, whether it's clear, tinted, whatever, it cannot be. It has to be free of any debris in front of it. Now, a lot of people like to get their maybe their local sports team going around it or something like that. Make sure that it is free to, and clear to read the state that it is issued to or issued from, and that the registration sticker, the tab, is also visible.
You guys are lighting up the phone lines here, and I suppose that makes sense. You want your questions answered in the studio or on the radio waves rather than on the side of the road. John has a question about traveling in motorhomes. John, you're
amazing. Yes, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm just wondering, as far as seatbelt-wise, everyone in the RV, are they required to have a seatbelt?
Obviously, if you're traveling in an RV, it depends upon what seat you're in and whether it has a seatbelt or not. Obviously, in the driver's compartment of the vehicle, there are seatbelts. So the people that are in the driver's compartment would be required to have a seatbelt on. Behind that, I can't think of a motorhome that I've ever been in where they've actually had seatbelts in the kitchen seats or like a bucket seat that they have in the back. Those people are not required to have a seatbelt because there's no seatbelt for them to wear.
So John Madden, when he's driving through North Dakota on the Madden Cruiser, he doesn't need to buckle up unless he's in one of the front seats.
Correct. Probably.
Okay. Derek has a question about CDLs. Derek, you're on News and Views.
Hi. I just had a question about people that you've talked to that have Class A driver's licenses. Is the 0.08 drinking restriction on them, when they're driving their semi, obviously there's a lower alcohol threshold. Now, if they're driving an automobile, does that lower threshold still hold on just because they have a CDL?
No, it doesn't. And it's also important to remember that, and we get a lot of questions about this, but a DUI, the mark for the DUI is still a 0.08. So there is some confusion if you're driving a truck and if you can get a DUI at a 0.04. And you have to remember that it's not the amount of alcohol in your system, but it's the effect that it has on your body. So if the officer can articulate that you were under the influence at an 0.04, then you could be charged and you could be found guilty of a DUI with an 0.04. But the per se law is still an 0.08, and it doesn't matter if you're in a commercial motor vehicle or if you're in a passenger vehicle. And the administrative fine or the loss of the driver's license or the CDL at a 0.04 is just when you're operating a commercial motor vehicle and not when you're operating a passenger vehicle.
Excellent explanation. Good question, too. Sue has a question about highway signage. Sue, you're on News and Views.
Hi. I was just wondering, I've noticed on the interstate that there's a sign usually when you're coming into a larger city. It says no engine brake. What are they?
The engine brake is on commercial motor vehicles. It's on trucks, and truckers refer to it as a Jake brake, and it suppresses the exhaust coming from the engine, and it's pretty loud. So what they do to slow down the engine and slow down the RPM is to use the Jake brake. They suppress the exhaust coming from the engine, and that it's pretty loud.
Well, excellent questions, excellent answers. I want to thank all of our troopers. Really appreciate you guys being here. Sergeant Mitch Rumpel, Captain Brian Neewin from the North Dakota Highway Patrol, and Sergeant Jesse Grabo from the Minnesota State Patrol. Hope to see you guys again soon, not on the side of the road.
Thanks
very
me.
Much. Thanks for everything you do.
Thanks.
We'll be back on News and Views after this break.